Hey guys, how's it going? My name is Dexter. Most people know me as Dex. Welcome to Overdose Chill episode 151. I am the lead digital designer here at Overdose based in Melbourne, Australia. And today we have a special guest. Her name is Catherine. She's a customer success manager from Algolia. So Algolia is one of the most, if not the most advanced on-site search solutions in the market. Super intuitive, packed with functionality, and my personal favorite feature, it's extremely fast. So to kick things off, we'd love to hear about yourself, Catherine, or Kat, if you don't mind me referring to you as Kat.
Absolutely.
Great. Yeah, maybe give us some insight into who you are, what you do at Algolia, and maybe share a little bit about Algolia's journey and some of the core services.
Absolutely. Great to chat with you today. So yeah, as Dex said, everybody, I'm Kat. I'm Customer Success Manager at Algolia. I look after ANZ region. Essentially, my role as Customer Success is to make sure our customers are successful and help them define what that means for their search and discovery project goals, how that sort of follows up into the strategic goals of the company. That alignment is really important. So that can be thought leadership or education on how to use the features, debugging any odd queries that have come up and continuing to iterate on that journey. So I've been here for about 2 years now.
Beauty.
So Algolia, sorry, Dex.
Keep going, please.
Algolia has been around for quite some time. We're still considered a startup, very exciting. Ultimately, what we do is to help customers find what they're looking for. Algolia understands that's our big differentiator. It's not just about what a customer is searching for in terms of, you know, what keywords they're using. It's about the intent behind that search and really making sure that we match that up.
Gotcha. And in terms of, like, I know you guys obviously specialize in the on-site search experience, but there's so much more within that Algolia sort of network of features in the mix. Can you speak to some of those complementary solutions that Algolia offers in the way of recommendations and merchandising and that sort of thing? Maybe share with the audience and myself how that all works and integrates into this very efficient system.
Absolutely. I might take one slight step back. So before we look at sort of the recommendations and things like that, when we're looking at how Algolia works from the search perspective first, we're looking at the keywords and then the vector and marrying those together to have that perfect understanding of the intent behind and then layering on the AI features. But the complementary ones, we were talking about recommendations. So what related items could people be looking for? What are the trending items? What are people frequently buying together? What are those packages they're after? And then we've also just released in terms of recommendations, looking similar. So, you know, when you found that pair of shoes and they're almost what you're looking for, or they don't have your size, what else is there that you can have to make sure that you're surfacing to the customers exactly what they're after? So it doesn't have to be originally what they were looking at if that's not there anymore, but you know that you can still give them the end goal, which is not necessarily a specific item, but it's an item that's trying to achieve something. So whether it's a pair of shoes, whether it's technology, or whether it's content even, always having something there that's relevant. Aside from the recommendations, my personal favorite when we're looking, you know, outside the AI side specifically, is actually Merchandising Studio. And that's all about, you know, it's one of the last layers of the journey, but really curating how you're presenting items to your customer. And whether you're looking at e-com, whether you're looking at content or anything else like that, layer on the AI rules, and we'll get into those a little bit further. So we've got, you know, the re-ranking, we've got the personalization, all of those sorts of things. But pulling in your business goals into your merchandising, what sort of key drivers does your business have? So we want to make sure that, A, the customer is finding what they're looking for, but that that does map into what you're trying to achieve as a business. And so if you're looking at specific category pages, maybe it's a sale page, making sure that that sale page is really specific to that journey, because every journey on your site that a customer takes is different. And so it might be that you're wanting the highest sale items at the top of the page, depending on your customer profile. Or it might be, if it's a page about new items, absolutely, those have to be there new item straight at the top. That's the most important thing to the customer. There's a whole lot of different things that you need to take into account. Pulling in sort of different segment information, you know. If you're looking at content for a news site, perhaps, then the geotags are really important, because if people want local news and they're from Queensland, then they're probably not really interested in what's going on in Melbourne. So making sure that you really align that journey every step of the way. And I find that really exciting, because the opportunities are endless, and it really is, it's about search maturity. So it's not that one feature is better than another. It's not even really looking at it from a feature perspective, but it's in terms of where you're at in that search maturity. What are you trying to unlock? What are you trying to solve? Where can we go to next? And there's so much that can be done.
Amazing. Yeah. Gone are the days of simple search functionality and, you know, one sort of one version of results for each query, if you know what I mean. I suppose that would be one of the key differentiators from something that might be out of the box in terms of search functionality, right? Having that extra layer of personalization, as you said, and being able to collect that data and serve different relevant products or products that users may be interested in based on the profiles that are generated, which is really cool. I guess on that note, we know what the key advantages are of using a sort of bolstered search in Algolia. But in terms of other search providers in the market, there are a few out there. What would you say sets Algolia apart?
I think there's a few things. I think the first thing that I would say is the understanding. I mean, that's what we're famous for, understanding. So we give end users a better search experience, and that's because we process more signals more intelligently. And that leads to higher satisfaction and then, of course, a higher revenue. One of the things that I think is really important is that we are a developer first platform, and we always will be. Also, we are really conscious of the fact that the majority of our users are not developers. And so we're constantly making sure that as we go on this journey and as we improve, we listen to what our customers are saying about how they need to use the systems, what else they're after. And we make sure we build that in a way that can be done by business users. And I think that's really important when you consider Australia specifically. We have 97% of business in Australia is small business. Another 2.5% is medium business, and then the rest is enterprise. So it's really important that we're looking at through a lens of making sure that business users know how to do things. You know, we've got no-code banners and really working towards that. So I think that's a really important consideration. But also, you know, we've got three pillars of success. And so we've got ease of use, we've got speed, and we've got scale. And I think that really does set us apart. It's really easy to understand why results are happening. It's not a black box. It's very much white box. This is occurring for this. How can we tweak it? So making it very accessible for everybody within your organization who is powering the search.
Yeah, yeah, I love that. I love the three pillars, particularly ease of use and speed. I think, at least in my observations, and I'm sure many users, it's almost a seamless experience because it's so fast. Like when I've utilized Algolia on different e-com sites, instant results, you know, and it's not like a little load screen that gives you an indication of the system thinking about what to serve. It literally happens there and then, even before you've completed a query, which is really cool. I think that ease of use and speed really kind of work together to create an experience that's seamless, is the way I would describe it.
Absolutely.
Has speed always been something that Algolia has like just constantly tried to improve on the journey? Yeah.
I bet. Yeah, it's always been a key pillar. It's incredibly important. And I think that's because, you know, we're powering this globally.
Yeah, yeah.
If I look at it through a personal lens, I mean, I remember the days of dial-up, and, you know, you can all remember that noise that we had to wait as the internet was loading. But
I have nightmares about that sound sometimes, a little popping.
It's terrible. Yeah. It's really bad. But, you know, it makes it really important for us. And when I consider why did I start my journey with Algolia, it's because I was actually really frustrated. I was helping my husband to find something. He's a carpenter, and was looking for a really specific item on a trade site, and the search was just, it was driving me insane. I left that site and went somewhere else. And I think we can all relate to doing that quite frequently when we're purchasing different items. And not long after that, I was on LinkedIn. I was considering what new roles I might want, and I saw Algolia, and I'd never heard of it before. But jumped in and realized what they're doing in terms of search. I was like, oh my God, that's something I can get behind, because it just seems, honestly, I think bad search is just not really acceptable these days. We have really high expectations. We are in an environment where we have access to things like, you know, Netflix and all of these, and they always understand what we're after.
Mm.
Not just because of what we've done previously, but then they make recommendations for the future. And that's where we're all aiming to be. Not just on e-com, but content and everything as well. So yeah. I think it's just, it's really important to everybody.
To make 100%. Sure. I think, on the topic of, I guess, speed and, you know, if you think about the level of attention that, you know, a lot of this generation, the old people these days tend to have, you know, being on platforms where there's 4-second videos that immediately entice you to move to the next, like, I'm definitely a victim of having a short-term attention span at times. Not today, though, of course. But, you know, it goes to show, like, if you're not fast, you're gonna lose viewership. And that applies to UX in general, right? Like, I mean, if a site's slow, that's going to lead to increased bounce rates and people dropping off and potentially lost transactions if you're on an e-com site. And that sort of thing.
There's actually been some research on that, and I can't remember the exact numbers, but basically for every millisecond delay that you have, you lose, I think it was 2.4 conversion points.
Yeah,
so it makes
a lot of sense. As soon as you get a staggered sort of experience, regardless of how well a site's designed, if it's slow, you're probably going to hit the other tab and look at a competitor, or, you know, jump into Google and use their search to find something else. To that point, I would probably argue, and it makes a lot of sense. And I'd be keen to get your thoughts on this as well. With search engines being such an integral part of the online journey and being able to find information, in a lot of ways, utilizing search is just part of what we do on the web. You know what I mean? Like when I open up Chrome, or when users open up Chrome, you immediately get Google search, whatever search engine you might be using, most likely Google. We're so sort of accustomed to taking that first step via a search engine. Even if you know what a domain URL might be, you'll often just type that into Google search. Mm-hmm. And I think that ties into the on-site search experience, because because of that learned behavior, the first call or the first touch point on a lot of sites tends to be that search bar at the top of the site.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, definitely would agree with that. And I think to the point about Google, people have a lot less brand loyalty than they used to, because we have so many more options. And so it's integral that you get the search experience right so that customers continue coming back. I think the search bar is really important. That is where most people will start their journey, when they have an idea of what it is they're looking for, or if they haven't been on your site before and they want to really quickly understand what you do, they might do a couple of searches just to try and see if you are the right fit for them. So making sure that experience from the get-go is working efficiently and that it's the best user experience is vital. And so when you're looking at that, you might want to consider things like that. The second someone clicks into that search box, have you made some suggestions to them? Like, does anything happen, or is it just staying there? Are you popping in some trending items or trending categories or any sort of information like that that might help the customer be a little more specific in their journey or guide them a little bit towards what you feel they may want? And so it's a different experience if it's a new user versus a returning user, of course, but it's really important that from that first click into the search box that you're helping to guide that journey.
Yeah, I'd love to sort of unpack that a little bit more. So let's say you're a new user and you jumped onto a clothing store. First thing you do is hit search, because you got a rough idea of what you're after. What happens as soon as the user clicks on search? Or what's the ideal scenario that Algolia would recommend in that state?
Ideal scenario is tricky, and I will always say this to customers, that every customer is unique and that we need to make sure that it's really specific to their journey. But for the sake of this conversation, let's make some assumptions and be a little bit more general. I think we could say that when they start typing a search, whether it's, say, for a dress, and that's quite a broad term, we want to know that straight away, instead of just before even looking at the results, are we making sure that those are relevant to the season that we're in, items that we already know are trending, things that are popular and all of those. So straight away, you may have some suggestions in terms of edits. So it could be, you know, work dress, cocktail dress, party dress, getting really specific there, making sure the customer's narrowing it down. You don't want to present too many items, because then they're going to get overwhelmed and less likely to convert. Mm. And you really want them to start thinking straight away, actually, what is it that I want? Because the more clicks somebody does without engaging fully, the more likely you are to lose them. So get them thinking straight away about what they want. Sometimes they don't consciously know when they start. It might be that you would also surface some content. So if you've written some blog articles about, hey, these are the hottest items of the season, or, you know, when Barbie came out, obviously I saw that, everything was pink, right? So, you know, why pink is the hottest color for dresses this season? Whatever it might be, you really want to use the opportunity to straight away connect with that customer, let them know that you understand them, and give them some options that guide them towards purchase. When they start typing a query, ideally, every keystroke that they make, you should be gathering more information and letting them to gather more data. Because straight away you're getting more and more specific. So I think those are some really important considerations to start with.
Yeah, it's incredible. I know I'm just experimenting with a few different integrations on some e-com sites via Algolia. What you said about the keystrokes and the search results coming up, it's something you don't notice because it's so seamless, it's so quick. But, you know, for the sake of this, of, you know, trying to learn a little bit more about the platform, I did start taking notice of this in a good way. It was kind of like, wow, I didn't notice it the first few times, but now that I'm thinking about the platform and search functionality, I can see those inner workings, those milliseconds kind of doing the work to create search results at an instant when I've only typed in two characters, which is pretty crazy.
Absolutely.
The refresh rate's just insane. And you were saying that typically you guys purposely surface specific products based on that user profile, or it might be a case of not overwhelming the customer with too many results. Is that something that you would recommend, at least in that initial experience?
Absolutely. And it really depends. Is the customer on a website, on a desktop, or are they on a mobile or a tablet? So making sure that you've customized those experiences to be different. When you're talking about having that drop-down menu, you want to make sure that when you're on a mobile device, for example, that it doesn't take up the whole screen, and that it's still really clear to the customer that they are on the search drop-down, and that they're not on the homepage, they're not on the PDP or anything like that. If they can't clearly see that, then they may feel that you don't have as many items as they thought they would, rather than understanding these are just some high-level suggestions to help guide you on your journey. So that's really important from the beginning, to understand what device they're using. I've forgotten my second point.
Nah, you're all good. And I guess, like, on the flip side, we touched on returning users, so yes. Maybe speak to the experience of a returning user that's maybe visited the site, website a few times, maybe looked at a few products. What kind of experience would users kind of expect if engaging with Algolia as a returning user?
So I would say in that instance, then trending items becomes less important, because if they're a returning user and you've configured Algolia in the way that we help you to do, then you've got a whole lot of data about that customer already, and you should be using it.
Mm.
What were their previous searches? What previous categories did they engage with? What items did they click on? And depending on that, you might want to show those to say, hey, we remember that you engaged with this previously, but you didn't check out. And the more that you surface those things to the customers, the more they're going to want them. You have to remind them, hey, you were looking at this. We know you were considering it. Maybe have a look again. because the more that they're engaging with those things, the more likely they are to convert. So that's really important as well. But also when you're looking at the perspective of not specific items, if you know there's a specific brand that they enjoyed engaging with, then those should be higher up in your suggestions too. So if perhaps last time they were looking at headphones and maybe they looked at a specific brand quite a few times, instead of just showing suggested categories that might be headphones, you might suggest a category or a search query that is brand headphones. So again, you're curating that journey for them. You're reminding them of what they were looking for. You might show out of that specific bunch of search results, your best selling item from there and have it as an item in that menu. So there's a lot that you can do to make sure that you are helping your customer on their journey, making sure that they feel like you really do understand them without them having to explicitly tell you anything.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess, so Algolia has the capacity to collect all that information. And I suppose what would be nice to touch on now would be the role of AI and personalization, how they work together to kind of create those sort of experiences. How much of that is driven by the administrator versus how much can, you know, AI sort of tie into the mix and make these things happen?
Sure. So I find that when we talk about personalization, that it can mean a lot of different things to different people. We have personalization as a feature that we can layer on, but we also look at personalization holistically. Mm-hmm. And so that's the entire user journey when we're considering the user experience, UI and design, all the way through the search and browse. I would first say that we'd look at it from the lens of making sure that you are driving customers on the journey they want. So when they first land on your website, whether it's homepage or even perhaps if they've come in through Google, do things like ask them what size they are. Like, don't have an annoying pop-up asking them for their email address so that you can send them marketing. You know, it drives them insane. It doesn't convert well anyway. You may as well have a banner there that reminds them to choose their size from the beginning. Make that persistent across the journey. So you're only showing things that are relevant to them. So there's that lens of personalization. And then there's the AI personalization where we pull in all of those sorts of features. When you're sending the appropriate events through to Algolia, you don't necessarily have to send us segmented data on your customers. If you've got extra information that you do want to share in, you know, a depersonalized way, then that's fine. We can absolutely do that. But the AI engine will learn in real time about what that person is connecting with. And that's through understanding maybe the brands that they're engaging with. Maybe it's the categories, seasonality, you know, if you're looking at foods and things like that, if they're interested in, maybe it's non-GMO, maybe they've got allergies. Because they've engaged with all of those different categories, then we have an understanding of who they are and we can build that affinity profile without you needing to send that to us. So it can start layering in very quickly. And depending on how long they're on your site, even if it is their first time on the site, it can start kicking in from the get-go. So it's incredibly powerful. It's learning in real time from both sort of, you know, our customers and the end user data to automatically generate the more relevant results and that more personalized search experience. And importantly, you know, 74% of users will switch brands if they find a purchasing experience is too difficult and it's not understanding what they're after. And where it does meet their expectations and it has been personalized, they're 2 times more likely to convert. So that's really important in making sure that you do understand customers from that level. Additionally to that, when we're looking at the personalization feature specifically, we've also got a beta running at the moment, which is really going down the AI personalization track. And I can't share too much about that yet because it's still a private beta, but I can say the results are really encouraging so far. And I'm really, really excited to see how that goes and for that to hit GA.
Yeah, very cool, very cool. I just put it out to the audience. If there's anyone that has any burning questions or anything that sort of sparked your interest and you want to know more about, please feel free to drop in a question and we'll try to surface that in this call. So, that's awesome. I think, what I'm sort of thinking now is we've surfaced this personalized sort of search results and specific, I guess, products that are relevant to that customer at the search level. How does that play into the rest of the site as far as category pages and product pages in the way of merchandising, maybe surfacing products that users had viewed? So just moving beyond, I guess, search, how does Algolia play into experiences on other pages, i.e. category and product?
Absolutely. Okay, cool. I had a really great conversation with the customer about this yesterday because it is so powerful. When we're looking at the browse experience, categories and all of those, we're looking at, well, we've got a number of features that we can use. And I should say I am speaking feature heavily here today because for a broader audience, it's much easier. If I was having this conversation with the customer, I'd be leaning less heavily on the feature side and more on the what's the problem we're trying to solve and what are the goals we're trying to achieve, and then seeing what we can leverage. But from this perspective, I'd say, you know, if we're not looking at it from a personalization perspective, if we know nothing about this customer so far, then on your category pages, we'd want to turn on dynamic re-ranking. And this is incredibly powerful because it understands how users on a crowd level are interacting with items on your site per search query, or in this case, per category page. So if somebody's on trending items is a great one. Someone's on a category page for trending items. Based on how many times people are clicking and converting on those items, they will continually move up and down, kind of like a seasonality trend. So a really great example of this, let's say pre-COVID, right? If you were looking at beauty products or face masks or something like that, you would expect to see the creams and those sorts of masks, but the re-ranking understands that what you're after has changed as we hit COVID and things like that, and as the safety face masks. So if you're on a category page for trending items, as the seasons change, the items that are trending will change with it. So at the moment, I know you're in Melbourne, I'm on the Central Coast near Sydney. The weather is a little bit crazy at the moment. Some days it's really hot and some days we're starting to get those cold sort of autumn fronts coming through. And so the trending items on an e-commerce site for fashion might be majority of summer items, but we might start to see that people are starting to click and convert a little bit more on the longer sleeve tops or the jumpers and things like that. And merchandisers don't need to do anything to account for that, because the way that their end users are clicking on those will automatically do it for them. So that's really powerful. And especially when you turn on event freshness, you know, the engagements that happen today, they're twice as important as yesterday and twice as important as the day before and so forth. So it means that you are really on top of those trending items and absolutely understanding the wisdom of the crowd in terms of how that journey goes. Now, from a polar opposite lens, if you know a lot about the customer who's on that category page, you've got a lot of information, they've engaged with your site a lot, returning user, then we might not look at it from re-ranking, because wisdom of the crowd's awesome. But what's even better than that is knowing who you are and what you want and what you tend to buy. And so that the way that those items are ranked will change based on what you're engaging with. So, you know, maybe it is starting to get a little colder, but maybe I don't care about that. And maybe I keep looking for short sleeve tops and things like that. So on trending items for short sleeve tops, like, it will be more short sleeve tops than it would be the longer things, which could be a completely different experience for another person. So really understanding as much as you can about your user. You can also be looking at things like, what are your business goals for each category page? So times are tough at the moment, and we know that for a lot of customers, getting rid of aged inventory can be quite a problem. So if we're looking at a sale page, the key driver might not be that you're wanting to put your custom ranking logic in as maybe margin. Margin might be a little bit less important at the moment than the date that the item was released. You might wanting to be boosting up your items that are a little older. And so you can set custom logic for that specific page to achieve that goal, because we know you've got your business goals strategically, but then on the specific search and discovery lens, there are really specific goals for each of those pages as well. And so being able to curate that journey is so powerful.
Yeah, that's really interesting, actually. This whole sort of notion of the different types of goals that can tie in the mix, strategic versus business. I never really thought about it from a pushing inventory or products that may need to get out the door kind of perspective. I guess on that topic, what are some of the goals that you encounter that you try and solve, or what are the common goals that come up that Algolia help with?
There's quite a lot. If we look at e-com, we are looking at click-through and conversion rate, of course, are always there. When we're talking about conversion, generally speaking, for search, we're looking at add to cart. And the reason for that is we know we've surfaced the correct results if they've added it to the cart. If they've purchased or not, there tends to be a few things in between there that can influence it, shipping costs, availability issues, all of those things. So that's less of an indicator on that side, although we have just released revenue analytics that just came out of beta last week, which means now when we're looking at it, we've got click, we've got add to cart, we've also got purchase, average order value, and revenue. So all of those metrics are really important. One that I'm finding is coming up a lot is not just the average order value now, but also how many items are in the basket. And really wanting to increase that. And so we're looking at, you know, what tools do we have to really do that well? Recommend is fantastic. So frequently bought together, that's really trying to drive that, hey, you know, you just bought these shoes and they're fantastic, but have you seen that this handbag looks really good for them and maybe you should get that too? Or I was talking to a customer recently and they're more in the health space and pharmaceuticals and vitamins and things. And it was interesting from that lens when you're trying to use something like recommendations to increase your average order value or extra items, we're looking at the sort of psychology of it. So people don't necessarily want to spend a lot more money, but if you can get each customer to spend an extra $5, then that's huge for you. So if somebody's buying something in a category of maybe painkillers, if they're not feeling well, then making suggestions about really small items that might give them a bit of a dopamine hit, so maybe a nice hand lotion, you know, anything along those lines, they might not seem like they're related items, but when you consider how people behave when they're feeling down and they're looking for a pick-me-up, things like that can be incredibly powerful. So really understanding not just what products you have that go together in terms of if you were in the store and what's on the shelf, but how users really behave and you know, what makes them feel good. So that's a big thing to consider as well. Also bounce rate, and then things like search versus browse. Search converts so much higher than browse does, and they've got very different user journeys and very different goals, but a driver to have a higher percentage of users using search is incredibly powerful because that continues all down the funnel as well.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. One thing I probably should have touched on earlier is we look at a lot of heat maps in the e-com space, and 90% of the time, search has the highest sort of heat map activity. You see these big red spots around search, tons of engagement. It tends to be one of the next to maybe the menu, so category menu and that sort of thing. Search tends to be the highest, displays the highest form of activity on the site, so it tends to be one of the key starting points for user journey on an e-com site for sure. And in regards to, I suppose, let's say you're a business looking to take on enhanced search and take on Algolia as a on-site search provider on the site, what would be, I guess, like from your perspective, you know, wanting this business to be successful, what would be the typical journey from A to B? And maybe the answer is it's about the journey, not the end point kind of thing. But I guess what I'm wondering is what would a business typically expect in terms of a timeline of being able to get search online, utilize maybe some of the baseline functionality, but then get to a point where they can begin seeing sort of that personalized experience and those key metrics beginning to increase. Well, from your perspective, I guess, how would you advise on that journey and that timeline? Or what sort of, how would those features tie into the mix along the way?
Absolutely. So first you'd look at it as we're really wanting to understand your tech stack, all the things you're doing. Are you working with a partner? Is it in-house? Understanding all of that would be the start. Making sure that you're really looking at our documentation in terms of what you're wanting to achieve. It's really, really in-depth documentation. It is, you know, as I said, we are dev first, so very specific there, but we also have the documentation specific business users as well. The first thing that I would say to you is jump into our Goal Year Academy, because it goes through the whole process of how you should onboard and what you should roll out first. It's done in bite-sized chunks. It's videos and content, and you can do sort of 10-minute bits at a time, which makes it much more palatable as you're starting to jump in to the dashboard and start seeing how it works. From my perspective in customer success, I would say events are number one. And I will often see customers say, hey, events don't seem like a priority for us right now. We've already got Google Analytics or whatever else. We'll come back to that. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. That is a hard no from me. If you want to be incredibly successful, if you want to know what's working and what's not, then it's a non-negotiable. Events have to be implemented. And I would say it's the first thing that you need to do once you've got your indexing and everything set up. After that, I would say, and you've, you know, configured all of your searchable attributes and all the dashboard things, won't get too much into the weeds there. But then we'd look at something like turning on AI synonym suggestions, which is understanding how your users are engaging with your site. And where you may not have particular keyword matches, but you know the synonyms you could put in there. You don't need to do that manually. So I say to everybody, you know, 8:30 on a Monday morning when you're coming into the office, you're still trying to turn your brain back on from the weekend, sit down at your desk, have your coffee, and go through the dashboard where it will give you examples of what we believe, based on the data, that you should set up as synonyms. And you can just tick the box. And an example of that would be if customers are searching for trousers, I don't know, maybe they're originally from the UK, and they're not getting any results, and then they're changing that search and they're typing pants. The system will pick up on that and it will tell you that and it will give you an action point of what you can take to fix it. So leverage that straight away. A-B test dynamic re-ranking.
Yeah,
whether you want to test it, search category pages, one or the other, both. Always A-B test. Data is king. We all have a lot of opinions. I certainly do.
Yeah,
but data knows more than we do. So A-B test and see what's working and how you can tweak it would be the second thing that I would say that you need to do.
We've got a question from Vlad. He'd like to know, is it hard to start using Yogalia?
I'll answer that from a business user perspective because that's primarily who I am working with, though I do work with the technical users a little bit as well. No, it's not hard to start using Yogalia. There is absolutely a learning curve. And I do remember I feeling, you know, a little overwhelmed when I first logged into the dashboard the first time. But when I started having my screen open, two screens open, you know, your dashboard and the Yogalia Academy. And as I went through something like, for example, dynamic re-ranking and how this works and how to implement it in the Academy side, and then I started actioning it in the dashboard, it became really easy. I was absolutely able to understand what they're talking about, which from a non-tech perspective, I think is really important. You don't need to get too much in the weeds of those things. You just need to know what you need to do to move along each step of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Where I find that customers do find that they're having a little bit of trouble about something, that's okay. That's going to happen from time to time. Everyone understands things differently and we've all got different skills. We've got the documentation, we've got Yogalia Academy, and we have the most incredible support team. I know I'm a little biased because I am in ANZ, but the people that we have here especially, and, you know, it's global, that are working on support, they're just incredible. They're so helpful. They're really quick to answer. They will escalate to different areas if they need more help for you. But, you know, you've got access to ask them questions as well. So no matter where you're at in your journey or what you're trying to implement, if you do come to a point where you find something hard, you do have contacts that you can reach out to assist you on that journey. So it's a tricky question to answer because I think, you know, easy or hard is relative to the person that's using it and what they're trying to achieve. No, it doesn't need to be.
We get a question from Camilla that's come up. So Yogalia, as we've sort of touched on, has many features. How can customers take advantage of all the features?
Absolutely. All right. So if you have access to all of our features as a starting point, then that makes me really excited because there's so much that you can do. We have onboarding tracks that you can access on our website that we can share with you as well. But basically just going through step by step. So set up your keyword features, roll out things like re-ranking when you've tested them, test out personalization, you know, recommend query categorization. There's a lot of features there that you can use. If you don't have access to them yet, reach out to us. We have a great team. We're always happy to chat to you. So whether you're, you know, using Algolia through a partner, which we love, partners are a fantastic resource, and I really do implore people to use them. Our implementations with partners are always, well, almost always more successful than those without, unless you're a customer that's got a huge dev team. So definitely do that. If you don't have access to the premium features, talk to us about how we can get you access and show you how those work. That's the best way to take advantage of them, but really test them out. Don't feel like, oh, this feature's not for me. Do a little bit more investigation, run an A-B test, because you might be surprised sometimes at how something works. When we go through the analytics dashboard, it really shows you, you know, what pain points you might have and what can be solved, and where there's different features that you can leverage.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. And just a quick one on A-B testing. So what can you share about how that works and what you can actually A-B test? Is it within the maybe instant search results or the search results page, or is it within the category page, or what surfaces on a product page? What sort of things would retailers typically A-B test, or you would recommend A-B testing?
You can A-B test a change in your keywords. So maybe originally you had title as the most important thing and you wanted to see if it's going to be more effective if you use brand. So you can A-B test that. You can A-B test our features. You can A-B test any sort of configuration change. Maybe you've pulled in some more facets. When I'm talking about facets, I mean, you know, categories or some sort of tags that are telling. Basically, whatever's available in an Algolia for you to tweak and play with, you can A-B test. And whether that's creating a replica index to do that or by using the query params in the A-B testing functionality. And the way that works is we're measuring the click-through, we're measuring the conversion. You'll be able to see the AOV revenue. We will show you how confident we are about the test as it's moving along. So it will show you if it's too soon to tell, or if it's trending confident or trending unconfident, and then when it hits confident level. And that also pulls out any outliers, so you don't need to be worrying about anything else that could be skewing results in that way as well. So A-B testing is king. I always say, even if you think, oh, this is an absolutely no-brainer, we should just turn it on, just A-B test it. 100%. It's great to be sure, but then you can refer back to the things that you've done, and you can actually show, you know, your own internal management. Hey, look, this is what we've achieved this year. I can really clearly show you this path. And that's important because you work hard on those things.
Now, I personally get a kick out of A-B testing, as some of the viewers might be aware of. But to your point, being able to, like, particularly from a UX standpoint, being able to link the features that we implement or the designs that we implement back to key, like, actual metrics that make a difference for a company, whether it's, like you said, at the cart rate or you know, purchase conversion rate, being able to see the impact of design. For me personally, I get a real excitement out of that. And I think retailers and e-com specialists, you know, would likely feel the same way, because they begin seeing not just things look pretty or working really well, but seeing the actual numbers come through, the actual revenue come through in some cases. So I think we're on the same page in terms of being able to take that sort of test mentality and getting the best out of, you know, your platforms and designs and that sort of thing. So I guess, man, there's so many layers to Algolia that we've unpacked today. Really cool. It's not just on-site search. It's AI personalization. It's creating unique experiences for users based on activity on a site. I guess, is there anything else that you think would be informative to anyone listening today or listening later on that you'd like to share?
Oh, there's so much. Look, search is iterative. It's never set and forget. And I think that's a really important thing to understand. I like to use a bit of a gym analogy. You know, if you and your friend are both going to the gym and you do the same routine all year, you are not going to get the same results as your friend who's constantly looking at what they find hard and leaning into that and what's not working and getting better at it. And I think anything in, especially e-commerce, is the same. You constantly iterate on it. And it doesn't need to be a huge amount of work all the time, but you do need to pay attention to what the trends are, and make sure you've got all the AI that you're leveraging to continue to get the most out of them. Algolia as a product, when you look at, you know, we've got a lot on offer. That's not set and forget either. We are constantly iterating on our products and wanting to improve. Our Chief Product Officer, Bharat, was recently talking about generative AI. You know, that's a really, really important topic at the moment, and how we are leaning into that and what we've got coming. And it's things like, you know, product comparisons and product reviews and buyer's guides and query refinement and, you know, conversational interface. I mean, who's not using ChatGPT these days? So the way that customers are engaging with websites is changing really rapidly, and we are absolutely, you know, working in the background to make sure that we're working towards those goals as well. So there's a lot that we can do now, and it's really exciting, but there's also a lot that's coming. So stay tuned, would be a really big one. But also, if you're somebody that does have access to our partner network, or you do have access to, you know, our tech team or our customer success managers, partner with them. You will be most successful when you treat this as a partnership. That's where we thrive. For me personally, my role is to make our customers succeed. And so that doesn't just mean, oh, yeah, this is going well, you know, good job. It means if we're having a conversation of something that's planned and it's not in my experience the best way forward, let's have that conversation and see what else there is. And just be really candid with each other. So build on the relationships that you've got within Algolia and ask lots of questions. There's no such thing as a stupid question.
100%. Love that. I guess, yeah, thank you so much for spending this 45 minutes or so unpacking Algolia, the amazing features and how it could help sort of boost retailers in the on-site search experience, along with all the personalized functionality in the mix. Just want to say a big thank you from myself and Overdose, and looking forvard to introducing Algolia onto a bunch of other e-com retailers down the track.
Thanks, Dex. I've really enjoyed the chat.
All right. Thanks, Kat.